That's right. It's the January 28th, 2013 edition of the Seattle Sports Report. I'm the host, Brian Duchesne, and we're going to start off by looking at the college basketball top 25. It's just released today for week 13. Michigan tops it off at number 1, Kansas at number 2, Indiana at number 3, Florida at number 4, and Duke at number 5. And as I said before, Kansas looks like a team to me that could reach that number 1 spot very soon if they keep playing the way they were playing. They were number 3 last week. Duke went from number 1 to number 5, and now Michigan at number 1 at 19-1 with their only loss to Ohio State. A real tough test for Michigan, though, February 2nd. They got to go at Indiana, who Indiana is currently number 3. And that should be a great showdown between Michigan, number 1, and number 3, Indiana. The key here, it's at Indiana, which could be trouble for Michigan because Indiana plays very well at home. Also on the 30th, Michigan plays Northwestern. Northwestern sometimes looks good. They're real hot and cold, but we're going to have to find out and see if Northwestern can keep up with Michigan. But Michigan plays Northwestern at home, so it shouldn't be a problem for Michigan to beat them, considering they're 19-1 on the season. And the team I really like, the team that I would like to see at number 1 right now, Kansas, their only loss was to Michigan State, who is number 9 in the coaches poll right now, and number 13 on the AP Top 25. So Michigan losing to Ohio State, Kansas losing to Michigan State. It's kind of a toss-up who to give it to. If it's me choosing it, I'm going to put Kansas at number 1, Michigan at number 2. But it's so hard to tell because it seems like every time someone reaches number 1, they lose. So I guess we'll see if Michigan can hold it up this week. We saw how Louisville did. We saw how Duke did when they were number 1. Can Michigan hold it up? We'll find out. Also, what I don't understand is why Wisconsin isn't in the top 25 in either the coaches poll or the AP top 25. They lost to number 10, Florida. Florida was number 10 at the time of the loss. They lost to Creighton, who was number 14 at the time. They lost to Virginia, Marquette. But then since then, they have beaten Illinois, who was number 12 at the time. They've beaten Indiana, who is currently number 3. Indiana was number 2 at the time that they beat them. They lost to Iowa at Iowa by 4 points, and they lost to Michigan State by 2 points. But then they beat number 12, Minnesota. And here's another thing I don't understand. Minnesota has lost 4 in a row. Sure, it was Indiana, it was Michigan. They were both number 5 at the time that they lost to them. But then they lost at Northwestern and at Wisconsin. So Wisconsin has beaten Minnesota, and Minnesota's lost 4 in a row, yet Minnesota is still number 23. So me personally, I think Wisconsin should be number 24, number 23. Minnesota should be out of the rankings because they're 3-4 in the Big Ten. Wisconsin is 5-2 in the Big Ten, and I think conference record has to play a big part in the rankings. So really, it really confuses me why Minnesota is still number 23 and Wisconsin is still unranked. Minnesota takes on Nebraska for their next matchup January 29th, which is tomorrow at 6 Pacific time. If they lose to Nebraska, they definitely will fall out of the top 25, and they better not be back anytime soon with a loss to Nebraska. They get Nebraska and Iowa at home, so if they lose either of those, they better drop out of the top 25 because Nebraska and Iowa not really having the best seasons. Iowa sitting at 2-5 in the Big Ten, 13-7 overall. Nebraska 2-6 in the Big Ten, and 11-10 overall. And for all of you Pac-12 fans, Arizona number 8 in the AP Top 25 and Arizona number 8 in the USA Today coaches poll. Oregon sitting at number 10 in the AP Top 25 and in the USA Today coaches poll, Oregon up to 12. I think this is a little bit generous to have two Pac-12 teams in the top 10 in the AP Top 25. That being because the Pac-12 is a very soft conference, but it does look better than last year. I think Oregon and Arizona, should they be ranked in the top 20? Yes. I don't think they should be in the top 10. And I think Arizona should be around 12, 13, and Oregon should probably be around 14 or 15, something like that. But definitely, I don't think Arizona, regardless of the fact that they're 17-2, I don't think they should be number 8. And Oregon, regardless of the fact that they're 18-2, I don't think they should be number 10. And things keep up like this, the Pac-12, like I said, not a solid conference. So if they keep playing solid within their conference, they should move up. And one of those two teams could be looking at a number two or a three seed in the NCAA tournament, which is a little bit generous if you ask me. Also moving up in the rankings, Miami up to number 14 after that huge win over Duke. I don't know if anybody watched that game, but that was painful to watch if you were a Duke fan. I personally am not a Duke fan, but 90-63. And when you're a number one team and you come out and get blown out 90-63 to Miami, who was number 25 at the time, ouch. That is huge. That is a huge loss for Duke. Really affected their credibility. Now they're down to number five. But Miami on their way up, so watch out for the University of Miami climbing up the charts. And I know everyone got a little bit excited when UW started 4-0 in conference. Yeah, we're talking about the Huskies. Seattle Sports Report, got to talk about the Huskies every episode. Huskies not looking good right now. Start out 4-0 in conference with wins against Wazoo, Cal, Stanford, and Colorado. Then right when everyone gets hyped up, they lose to Utah. They lose at Oregon State, and they lose at Oregon. I didn't think they looked bad against Oregon 2 days ago, but they have looked flat out bad lately against Oregon State, and the worst one that I saw was against Utah. Can't lose games at home to teams like Utah. I think the key to the UW making a postseason tournament being the CBI or the NIT, win your home games. They can't be losing their home games. The next opponent, Arizona at home, January 31st. That one might be a tough one. So I'll give them Arizona if they lose to Arizona. But then the remaining home schedule, Arizona State, Oregon, Oregon State, Wazoo, USC, and UCLA. If they want to make a postseason tournament, they're going to have to win six of their last seven at home, if you ask me, and a couple road games. Their road games coming up, UCLA, USC, at Arizona, at ASU, and they're going to have to win, I'd say, five of six home games and two on the road. I'll give them USC, and I'll say Arizona State. They could probably beat on the road. So if the Huskies want a postseason tournament, they're going to have to win 8 of their last 11 total. And if they were to win 8 of their last 11, that would put them at 12-6 in conference and 20-11 overall. We remember last year they were the regular season champions of the Pac-12, missed out on the NCAA tournament. This year, Arizona and Oregon look like locks for the NCAA tournament. UCLA most likely will get in. But even if Washington wins 8 of their next 11, I don't think they're going to the NCAA tournament unless they win their conference tournament. So I think watch out for UW and the CBI or the NIT, granted that they're able to play well at home and win a couple on the road. And talking some baseball, all you Unieski Betancourt fans out there, who am I kidding? Everyone in Seattle isn't really a huge Unieski Betancourt fan, especially after he took out Endy Chavez, ended his season and his career in Seattle. But anyway, anyone that cares about Unieski Betancourt, the Phillies have signed Betancourt to a minor league deal. So all you Unieski Betancourt fans, if you are out there, you can start the celebrations because you'll be able to watch him this year if he gets called up by the Phillies and makes the team after spring training. And moving on, the Pro Bowl. I don't know if anyone watched the Pro Bowl. This is actually one of the first times I've actually enjoyed watching the Pro Bowl. Danger Russ Wilson threw for 98 yards and 3 touchdowns. Leon Washington had a 90-yard kickoff return out of the end zone to the 15-yard line. Earl Thomas representing Seattle with an interception. And the Seahawks just looked great in the Pro Bowl. And I think that's the reason that I really enjoyed watching it, was because the players knew that the Pro Bowl was in jeopardy. Everyone decided to play a little bit harder. You saw J.J. Watt all bloodied up, his hand spraying blood, his blood all over his face, all over his jersey. I was hoping Russell Wilson was going to get that car and the MVP at the end, but it was Kyle Rudolph from the Minnesota Vikings. And the Pro Bowl turned out to be a huge blowout. 62-35 was the final. NFC crushes the AFC. So for all of you fans looking for a close game, it wasn't a good one to watch if you wanted a good football game. If you're rooting for the NFC like I was, the Pro Bowl was great. And anyone that saw the interview after the game, Doug Flutie and Russell Wilson answered the question that Doug Flutie asked him. And then at the end, like always, go Hawks. And I love that about Russell Wilson. Every interview he gives, he's always got to say go Hawks, showing his team loyalty, showing his loyalty to this city, and just shouting out the Hawks whenever he can. Gotta love it. But after the Pro Bowl, we know the Super Bowl. This Sunday, between the Ravens and the 49ers, everyone keeps asking me who I've got, who's my pick. This is the first time in the playoffs I'm going to pick the Ravens. I'm going to be honest here. I picked the Broncos to beat the Ravens. I picked the Patriots to beat the Ravens. This time, I'm picking the Ravens. Yeah, Ravens, I see you. I'm going with you for the pick. And we've seen it so many times before when all the casinos in Vegas release the spreads and all the picks come out. The underdog in the Super Bowl, it seems like they always pull through. The Giants twice were underdogs. They came through and beat the Patriots twice. And now I think the Ravens, they're used to being underdogs. Flacco thinks that he's got something to prove. He wants to be an elite quarterback. He keeps saying, I'm elite, I'm elite, I'm elite. No one really believes him, but everyone will believe him if he comes out and wins the Super Bowl. Ray Lewis, this is going to be his last game, regardless of winning or losing. So he's going to come out. He's going to want to prove that his last game is going to be meaningful. So Flacco and Ray Lewis both something to prove, and they both want this so bad. But then you got the 49ers on the other side. Kaepernick proving he's pretty much a rookie quarterback because he's sat on the sideline, and now he's getting his first shot this season while Alex Smith sits on the bench. So Kaepernick's trying to prove that he's an elite quarterback, or at least a quarterback that can take his team to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, and he's not going to try to make Jim Harbaugh look like he made the wrong decision. But as far as the actual game goes, the Ravens' defense, I like the Ravens' defense. I think they're going to be able to hold the 49ers' offense and be able to pick up the read option that Kaepernick runs. I think it should be a great hard-nosed football game, and it should be a great Super Bowl. I don't like either of these teams, but since the 49ers are the Seahawks' rival, and the Ravens, it's not really a rivalry with either of my teams being the Lions and the Seahawks, I'm going to have to go with the Ravens, and because I like the way the Ravens have been playing, so I can't just base it strictly off the fact that I don't like the 49ers. I really think the 49ers have got a great team this year. They've proved it throughout the playoffs that they can win, they can get to the Super Bowl, and they're even favorites in the Super Bowl, but I think that's going to go against them because the Ravens have said, we've done this twice before, we've been huge underdogs, we're going to come out, we're going to beat you in the Super Bowl. So that's my pick. I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens for the Super Bowl. And who's your pick? Tweet at me at SEA Sports Report. Let me know. Who you got, the 49ers or you got the Ravens? And all you Mariners fans, baseball fans in general, got just about a month before spring training starts. I think it should be interesting to see. We've seen the LA Angels make some moves. They signed Josh Hamilton in the offseason. The thing with the Angels, they need to stay healthy. We've seen them get into injury trouble. Last year, they tried to get their guys back. They started to make a run. They came close to making the playoffs, but it was too little too late for the Angels. And Texas is just playing too well along with Oakland. So I think if the Angels can stay healthy, they're a team to watch out for. And I can't wait to start evaluating these teams once spring training starts because it's been too long since baseball season. And for any NHL fans that listen to this podcast, the NHL season, the short season is underway. Boston being the top seed in the East at 4-0-1. In a team that really surprised me, Chicago coming out 6-0, 12 points. San Jose 5-0 with 10 points. So two undefeated teams in the Western Conference. In Minnesota, a little bit of a disappointing start for Minnesota. They've got a loaded roster. I expected the Wild to just come out and maybe start with 10 points after the first five games or so. Maybe start 5-0. They're 2-2-1 sitting at 5 points. The third seed in the West because of the fact that they're leading their division with 5 points. And then you have Dallas, Columbus, Detroit, and Nashville all with 5 points tied for sixth. And then Vancouver also tied for sixth with 5 points. So it's kind of weird how the NHL standings work. Minnesota went from 10th to 3rd in about a day with an extra point. So kind of funny how that works sometimes. But I'm excited to watch some hockey. Even though it's a short season, it should be interesting to see the short season because some of these teams that are off to a slow start, it's going to be hard for them to recover and be hard for them to make the playoffs. The NBA, Rajon Rondo out with an ACL injury last night. He will be out for the season. that could really hurt the Celtics, because the Celtics are only 4 games up on the Pistons for the last playoff spot and 3 games up on the Philadelphia 76ers. And we've seen these teams closing the gap on Boston because Boston's been struggling a little bit lately. Now even more, Rondo goes out. Will Detroit or Toronto or Philadelphia be able to catch Boston? I think so. With the way Boston's been playing, with the way Detroit's looked, with the way Philadelphia's looked lately. Detroit 5-5 in their last 10. They're getting better. This is the same team that started 0-7 to open the regular season. Now they're 17-27. Boston 4-6 in their last 10, continuing to slide. And now with the Rondo injury, keep an eye on the Boston Celtics. They could fall out of playoff contention real quick if they don't get it together. And the Heat at number one in the East, New York at number two. And just recently, the San Antonio Spurs have taken over the number one spot in the West from, yes, the Oklahoma City Thunder, sitting at 34-11. And the San Antonio Spurs, 36-11, 1 game up on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the LA Clippers, 33-13. Who would have ever thought that the LA Clippers would be the buzz in LA? Everyone talking about how the Lakers are going to be a finals team, how the Lakers are going to make the statement. The Lakers, 19-25, 4 out of a playoff spot behind Houston, who is currently 24-22. Do I think the Lakers will be able to make the playoffs? No, the Lakers are not going anywhere this year. And we've seen it, the frustration in the locker room, the frustration with their coach, the frustration with their fans. Everyone's frustrated, and all this frustration and anger, I think it's terrible for the LA Lakers, and they're definitely not going to make the playoffs. I think the Trailblazers, even though they're 3-7 in their last 10, the Trailblazers have a better shot at making the playoffs than the Lakers and the Rockets, 3-7 in their last 10. But Dallas on their way up also, 19-25, but they're 6-4 in their last 10, tied with the Lakers. So I think if someone's going to make a run for it, it's not going to be the Lakers. It'll be the Mavericks. Minnesota was a team a couple of weeks ago I thought was going to make a push. They don't have Rubio healthy. They don't have Kevin Love healthy. Kevin Love still out. Rubio not completely 100%. So Minnesota on the downfall right now. Lost 4 in a row, and they're 1-9 in their last 10. Minnesota, if you ask me, Minnesota's not a playoff team either. And that just about wraps it up for the Seattle Sports Report. I want to hear from you, though. If you're on Twitter, tweet at me, at SEA Sports Report, with any topics you want covered, predictions, questions you have, anything sports-related, tweet it at me, and I'll get it on the show for next week. I will catch you next week. This is the Seattle Sports Report.